home. I was a bit worried my flight might be cancelled because, you know, they shut the borders for a while, didn't they, with the Paris terrorist attack. And I was going through Paris. It was, what, one day after the terrorist attack, but the planes were unaffected, so that was good, and I could get home on time. Okay, so I'm going to preach. This is the last in the series that I've been doing within the bigger series about vision. That'll continue for a while. But within that, I've been talking about worship for the last few times that I've been preaching. And this morning, just for a brief time, I want to talk to you about the healing power of worship. Because, you know, worship heals you on the inside like nothing else can. And all of us, you know, we have pain. We're all a little bit tangled and broken on the inside, aren't we? We've got hurt and, you know, many different issues from the past, because, you know, the world is often a painful place to live in. And there's a verse in the Bible that's the theme of this message, really, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. It says this: "We all who with unveiled faces behold the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed into his likeness from one degree of glory to another." So in sort of normal English, what that says is that as you gaze at God, as you look into his face, as you worship him, then that process of fixing your eyes on God and looking into who he is and what he's like, that process is the thing that transforms you from, you know, the mess that we are into the beauty that God has created us to be. As we gaze on the Lord, then we're healed. As we gaze on God, we're transformed from one degree of glory to another. And worship is the most powerful atmosphere that you can live in. You know, we all live in an atmosphere of one kind or another, and many of us, you know, perhaps people have been brought up in homes that aren't Christian homes, that aren't loving homes. And if you're brought up in an atmosphere where you're constantly criticized and put down and there's a lot of negative thoughts, it affects you on the inside. It limits what you become as a person, and it makes you full of fear and anxiety. In the Cold War era, the Russians apparently did an experiment with a baby that when this baby was born, they looked after all its bodily needs by robots. So no person touched the baby, but it was fed and cleaned and kept warm and so on without any human person ever touching it. And, you know, after a few days, the baby actually died. And there was nothing wrong with it physically. It was just that it had been born into the wrong atmosphere. There was no love, there was no touch, and there was no warmth. And as human beings, we're actually born to live in an atmosphere of warmth and acceptance and love. And if you're denied that or deprived that, something goes sick on the inside. Something becomes ill. Something gets stunted and doesn't grow right. And yet, you know, on the other hand, if you live in an atmosphere of love and acceptance, and especially the atmosphere of praise and worship, then that's an atmosphere where you can thrive and grow and, you know, gain courage and step out and really become the person that you want to, that God has created you to become. Between God himself, God is three persons in one God. There's God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. And eternally there's flowing this sort of river or this atmosphere of love and adoration and worship. The Holy Spirit glorifies the Father, and the Father glorifies the Son, and the Son gives glory to the Spirit. And the three of them don't live for each other, but they're constantly encouraging and worshipping each other. And in that atmosphere of worship, that is where life comes from. It's described in the scripture as a river of life. And that river flows between the different members of the Godhead, and it flows out from God into the world. It says in John 7:38 that whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow out from within him. So just like there's life up there in heaven, God wants you to have life. And it's that river of life, that river of worship, that river of love, that river of adoration that is going on, that will bring the healing. And I was just thinking back to the Garden of Eden, and I read this wonderful book when I was away, and I really encourage you to read it. It's just called Eve, and it's written by the guy who wrote The Shack, whose name I've forgotten. What was he called, that guy? Paul Young, wasn't it? Paul Young. And it's called Eve, and it was looking at the, you know, where it all went wrong for mankind, basically, you know, the choices and the decisions. And it talks about how, you know, with Adam and Eve in the beginning, that they lived in this perfect garden in a perfect atmosphere. And in the beginning, you know, their faces were always turned to God. And because from God comes this river of life, and God is life, flowing there between God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is life. And their faces were turned to life. They always had life flowing into them because that was their orientation. And they lived in dependency in the river of life, in the river of worship. You know, they were full of joy, they were full of peace, full of health in their body. There was no negative, no darkness, no fear, no sickness. And they were just there in that perfect atmosphere. But it talks in the story in Genesis that God's placed in the middle of the garden two trees. And one was the tree of life. And God said, you can eat the fruits of that tree whenever you want. But next to that tree was another tree. And God said, if you eat the fruits of that tree, you'll die. So if you like, right next to each other is the tree of life and the tree of death. And it says in the story that they're right there in the middle of the garden. So all the paths led to those trees. If they wanted to have life, every day they had to choose not to have death. And so it's like this. You either go this way, you look this way, where there's life, where there's love, there's worship, there's God, or you look this way, and over this side there's, well, for Adam and Eve at first, of course, it was unknown. It was just God said, if you eat that, you'll die. And that tree had a name. It was called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's a slightly unusual name, isn't it? You sort of think, well, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, what is that? The snake came into the garden and he was tempting them, and he expanded a bit more what would happen if they ate it. He said, if you eat of that tree, your eyes will be open and you'll become like God, knowing good from evil. And the interesting thing is that they already had knowledge of good. They were living in good. They were living in life. So the only thing they could gain from eating of this tree, the knowledge of good and evil, was the evil. And somehow that tree represented the choice of taking control of their own destiny. Knowledge of good and evil, if you have knowledge, then it puts you in control of your own life. This way, Adam and Eve, they just received. They were dependent. You know, goodness flowed from God, love flowed from God. They could eat the fruit, whatever, but they were dependent. They didn't have that sort of, you know, that life of their own apart from God. But this way, how the devil tempted them was that you'll become like God. You will take control of your own destiny. You'll understand things and you'll be able to choose yourself whether you want good or evil. And it sounds a tempting choice to take control of our own destiny, to take control of our own life. But in taking the fruit, of course, they have actually turned away from the flow of life that comes from God. And the thing is that if light is this way, you look to the light, your whole perspective is light. There's no negative that way. It's love and peace and light. But you turn this way, you start looking that way, what happens is that your perspective then is shadow. And you're actually living in your own shadow. Darkness comes because you are standing between, you know, in front of the light. And so the light, it casts a shadow. And so your perspective then is different. Instead of being full of love and light and all of that, you can't see clearly because it's a bit dark. And that's why it's so tempting, you know, the knowledge of good and evil. And being able to understand myself, what I should do to understand and analyze and work out the choices and all of that, rather than just simply listening and obeying. God says this, if I do that, I'll have life. Now it comes to, should I do this? What happens if I do that? I'm afraid of this. And you're living in this world of shadow. Insecurity, striving to make things right, worry, anxiety. It led to separation and darkness and fighting and all sorts of other things when they turned away from God. And what happens is that, just like heroin addicts, when they have heroin going round in the veins, that you get all sorts of unexpected physical side effects because the body was never meant, it wasn't designed to have heroin going around in your body. When you're living in this atmosphere of the shadow, when you're living in an atmosphere where you have to work out what is right and take the decisions and, you know, fear and criticism and so on, then just like with heroin going around your body, your body has all sorts of side effects because we're actually born to live in an atmosphere of light and love and peace and joy and security. And so most people on the planet, or many people, you know, grow up living in that atmosphere where they don't have the right things coming into them. And that's why that's why we have so many issues. We can change the atmosphere by worship that we live in. And I remember as a very young Christian, at that time it was in the days of cassette tapes and Integrity Music. You know, they used to do a new worship album every month. I think probably many of us used to subscribe to that. And I used to really look forward to the new worship album coming, and as soon as it would come, I'd stick it in the tape player, and I would just fill my room as a student all the time with worship. And the thing is about worship, you know, worship is like choosing to deliberately fix your eyes in that direction. So when you worship, you know, you're looking to God. You're saying, God, you are great. God, you're loving. God, you're kind. God, you've brought all the different words like we've been singing this morning. As you worship, you turn this way. And when you turn this way, you're in that river of life, you know, that's coming from the throne. And all the positives that come down from heaven, they come into your life when you worship. The trouble is that so often in life we live this way. And so, you know, we have a difficult issue, or we fall out with someone, or something goes wrong, or we don't know what we should do. And instead of somehow, you know, living in that attitude of worship, we tend to choose the other tree. We want to understand what we should do and the knowledge of the good and evil, and we want to be in charge, and we want to know, and we want to be able to choose what to do. And of course, that way, then you're in the shadow, and then you get this other atmosphere. And then that other atmosphere breeds things like, you know, the fear and the anxiety and all of that. The more that we gaze into the presence of God, the more we become like him. One thing about Africa is that the sun is always shining. And, you know, sun is actually quite destructive. You leave your clothes outside in the bright sun for too long, they soon lose their colour, and in fact their cloth starts to deteriorate as well. But, you know, all that different colour, it's like the light enters the fabric, and the fabric starts to become the colour of, you know, it starts to become white. And as we gaze into the Lord, that verse says, then we're transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory. I had a picture one time a few years ago of worship, and in this picture I saw a beam coming down from heaven. It was like a round spotlight, just this light, and in this beam there were eagles, a number of eagles, and they were sort of flying like this and dancing with each other. They never went outside of the beam of light. They just stayed in that beam, and they were sort of going like flying and, you know, dancing around each other. And they were looking up like this at the sun. And as they danced and went round and round, they got higher and higher and higher and higher, all the time staying within that beam of light, and higher and higher and higher. And, you know, eagles can go really high, can't they? And, you know, the nearer you get to the sun, I'm not sure if this is actually true, but, you know, for the story, the hotter it gets. And, you know, the Greek story of Icarus, he was flying and he got too near the sun and his wax melted and all the feathers fell off. So I think the nearer you get to the sun, you know, the nearer, as you gaze towards the Lord, you reach a higher place in yourself. And the dross melts off. The things that are not Jesus, the things that are not good in your life, they melt. And as you get nearer, your gaze gets more and more filled. You know, the thing gets bigger and bigger. And then in this vision, at a certain point, what happened is that the eagles, they stop looking upwards, and they turn their gaze and they look downwards. And instead of doing this dance, flying up and up, dancing with each other, they started flying in this different way. They're going round and round, just circling round and round, or still within the beam. But as they were going, they were shaking their wings like this, looking downwards at the earth. And as they shook their wings, this sort of golden dust came off like rain and was falling down onto the earth below. And what it meant was, You know, first of all, you know, the worship takes you higher. It takes you up to that beautiful place where you're close to God and where you're warm in the sun and where you're changed to be like Him. But the nearer you get to God, the more the heat comes into you and you start becoming like that yourself. And, you know, it says in the scripture that God is consuming fire. God is full of passion. He actually is burning with love and desire for you and for me. His heart is flowing outwards. It's a river of life that is coming out from Him towards the world. And you get to that high place, you start getting that heart as well. And you catch that heart of passion where you just love people. And you're so full of the life of God. You just want to share that life. And as the eagles, you know, they were going round sprinkling the gold dust, the gold from heaven, you know, the life and the peace and the healing, sprinkling it gently over the world. And the world, it doesn't need stressed Christians. It doesn't need Christians that are full of fear and brokenness. It needs believers who are like Jesus, you know, whose hearts are full of love and whose lives are full of peace and whose bodies are healthy because they've been living in this atmosphere of acceptance and love. It heals you on the inside, that atmosphere. And, you know, the more you worship, the more you've got what, you know, you've got something that the world needs. And God will share His heart with you and you'll find yourself pouring out your life into other people. And that life will flow into others and it will change their life. And the eagles, you know, they circle lower and lower and lower, sprinkling this dust all the time. And then at a certain point, they changed their gaze. Instead of looking down, they looked up again, and then they started flying in a different way, this beautiful dance going higher and higher and higher. And that's how God wants us to live. You know, He wants us to live alternately between loving God with all our hearts and loving our neighbor as ourselves. He wants us to live worshipping God with all our being, all our day and every hour. And then, you know, as we get filled with Him, then looking down and loving the others and all the good things that we've got, pouring them out onto the world. And then it says in Romans 12 that, you know, the way you live is a form of worship. If you offer your bodies and your life into the service of God, you become a living sacrifice. So you can worship God like that, and you can worship God like that as you, you know, as you give to other people, as you live for other people. That can also be your act of worship. Worship will heal you like nothing else. And, you know, in these days of YouTube and computers and mobile phones and tablets, you know, if you haven't got all the latest albums, they don't do them Integrity Music anymore, you can just type worship into YouTube, live worship, and you can listen to live worship all day long on your phone, in your house, on your computer, on your Freeview God TV, there's a worship channel. And so we have no excuse, do we really? You know, if we want, we can live in that beautiful atmosphere all the time. And I can guarantee if you live in a place of worship, in an atmosphere of worship all the time, you will become a different person. You'll be healed on the inside. Those fears and those anxieties, they won't be there, because you can't look at God and at the same time be afraid of something else. It's impossible. You can't look at God and then be anxious about some little problem down there, because God, you know, as you're looking here, you see the source and the answer and the life. It's only when we turn and we choose, and that tree of knowledge of good and evil, where we start trying to work out ourselves and taking control ourselves, that's when we're living in the shadow. That's when things go wrong. And so that's it, really. That's my simple message for this morning. Learn to live like this and let it soak in deeply, because atmosphere, it soaks in. If you're living all the time in the shadow, it'll soak in to every part of your being. And it takes time, living in the light, for it to soak in. But if you allow it to do so, it'll change you right to the core of your being. Amen. So there we are. Good. I'm just going to pray before we finish. Heavenly Father, it's a short and simple word, but I just pray that you would help us to live in it. It's easy to say, but not so easy to live in. Help us to live in an atmosphere of worship, in my life. Lord, we're not talking about someone else's life. We're talking about me when I go from this place, in my family, and with my job, and with the things I do Monday to Sunday. Please, would you teach me to live differently? Help me to live in that river of life, that river of healing. I just pray, Lord, that you would heal me on the inside. Let me become like you, so that I've got something beautiful that I can give to others. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Just before we finish, let me remind you, there's the meeting with Rachel Hickson tonight, 7 o'clock. It'll be probably packed here with people from across the area. So I really encourage you. It's going to be a fantastic meeting. Rachel's such an amazing speaker. There'll also be opportunity for ministry at the end. So, you know, if you come early, that'd be great. And look forward to see you tonight. Thank you.